Chapter 2. William Tell. In a picturesque little cottage high up in the mountains, covered with snow and beautiful flowers, lived William Tell, his wife Hedwig, and his two sons, Walter and William. Tell was such a remarkable man that I think I must devote adequate space to him and his exploits. There was really nothing he could not do. He was the best shot with a crossbow in all of Switzerland. He had the bravery of a lion, the confident balance of a wild goat, and the quickness of a cat. And he had a beautiful beard. If you wanted someone to venture across isolated ice fields and leap from rock to rock on the slope of a mountain chasing a deer, Tell was the man for your money. If you wanted a man to say discourteous things to the governor, it was Tell that you asked first. Once, when he was hunting in the wild valley of Schachental, where people rarely ventured, he met the governor face to face on a narrow path set on a cliff, and there was no way of getting past. On one side, the rocky wall rose straight up, while below the river foamed. As soon as Gessler caught sight of Tell striding along with his crossbow, his cheeks grew pale and his knees trembled, and he sat down on a rock feeling very unwell indeed.
"Aha!" said Tell. "So it's you, is it? I know you, and I know the type of person you are, with your taxes on bread and sheep. You'll come to a bad end one of these days. That's what will happen to you. Oh, you old rascal! Ha!"
And he passed him with a look of scorn, leaving Gessler to think over what he had said. Ever since then, Gessler had resented him and was just waiting for a chance to get his revenge. "Mark my words," said Tell's wife Hedwig when she heard about it that night, "he will never forgive you."
"I will avoid him," said Tell. "He will not look for me."
On another occasion, the governor's soldiers were chasing a friend of Tell's called Baumgarten, and Baumgarten's only chance of escape was to cross the lake during a fierce storm. The ferry operator quite logically remarked,
"What? Must I row myself to my own death? No sane man would do that,"
and refused to take out his boat even for twice his usual price. As the soldiers rowed down to capture their prey, however, Tell jumped into the boat and, rowing with all his strength, brought his friend safely across after a stormy passage. This made Gessler even more angry with him. But it was as a marksman that Tell was so extraordinary. There was nobody in the whole of the land who was half as skillful. He attended every event for miles around where there was a shooting competition, and he won first prize every time. Even his rivals could not help praising his skill.
"Look at that," they would say. "Tell is quite the pot hunter." By which they meant that Tell was a man who always attempted to win every prize and was always successful.
And Tell would say, "Yes, I really am a pot hunter, because I hunt to fill the family pot." And this was true. He never came home defeated from the chase. Sometimes it was a deer that he brought back, and then the family had it roasted on the first day, cold during the next four, and spiced on the sixth with pieces of toast around the edge of the dish. Sometimes it was only a bird, and then Hedwig would say, "Mark my words, this bird will not be enough for all of us." But there was always enough to eat. Tell and his family lived a very happy, contented life, in spite of Governor Gessler and his annoying taxes. Tell was very patriotic. He had always believed that sometime in the future, the Swiss would rise and rebel against the tyrant governor, and he used to train his two children in order to always keep them prepared. They would march around beating old metal containers, shouting and enjoying themselves. However, Hedwig, who did not like noise and wanted Walter and William to help her with the household tasks, would make frequent complaints. "Mark my words," Hedwig would say, "this growing spirit of militarism in the young and foolish will lead to no good." By which she meant that boys who pretended to be soldiers, instead of helping their mother dust the chairs and scrub the kitchen floor, would in all probability come to a bad end. But Tell would say, "Whoever hopes to fight his way through life must be prepared to carry weapons. Keep it up, my boys." This was the man that the people of Switzerland had decided they must come to for help. Discussing things over in the inn of the town, the Glass and Glacier, the citizens came to the conclusion that they should appoint 3 representatives to go and explain to Tell exactly what they wanted him to do. "I don't want to impose," said Arnold of Sua, "but I think it would be best if I was one of the 3.
"I was thinking," said Werner Stauffacher, "that it would be a shame always to be changing arrangements. Why not choose the same 3 as were sent to Gessler?"
"I don't have any desire to be unpleasant at all," replied Arnold of Sua, "but I must be forgiven for reminding the honorable gentleman who has just spoken that he and his equally honorable friends did not have the best of success when they called upon the governor."
"Well, you didn't either," snapped Arnold of Melchthal, whose fingers still hurt him and made him a little irritable.
"That," said Arnold of Sua, "I blame entirely on the fact that you and your friends, by not exercising tact, irritated the governor so much that he wouldn't listen to anybody else." "Nothing is more important in these affairs than tact. That's what you need. But have it your own way, then. Don't mind me."
And the citizens did not mind him. They chose Werner Stauffacher, Arnold of Melchthal, and Walter Fürst, and, having drained their glasses, the 3 walked up the long hill which led to Tell's house. It had been agreed that everyone should wait at the Glass and Glacier until the 3 representatives returned so that they could hear the result of the mission. Everybody was very anxious. A revolution without Tell would really be impossible, and it was quite possible that Tell might refuse to be their leader. The worst thing about a revolution is that, if it fails, the leader is always executed to set an example for the rest of the revolutionaries. And many people are not enthusiastic about being executed, even as a good example to their friends. On the other hand, Tell was a brave man and a patriot, and might be eager to throw off the tyrant's restrictive rule, whatever the risk. They waited for about an hour before they saw the 3 representatives coming down the hill. Tell was not with them, which made the citizens suspect that he had refused their offer. Because, as they reasoned, the first thing a man does when he has accepted the offer to be the leader of a revolution is to come and plan a scheme with his companions.
"Well?"
asked everybody eagerly as the 3 arrived. Werner Stauffacher shook his head.
"Ah," said Arnold of Sua, "I see what it is. He has refused because you didn't exercise tact."
"We did exercise tact," said Stauffacher indignantly, but he would not be persuaded. "It went like this. We went to the house and knocked on the door. Tell opened it, and I greeted him. 'Good morning,' I said. 'Good morning,' Tell replied. 'Take a seat.' I took a seat. 'My heart is full,' I said, 'and wishes to speak with you.' I thought that this was a neat way of putting it." The company murmured in approval. Tell said then, "A heavy heart will not grow light with words."
"That's not bad," murmured Jostweiler. "A clever way of putting things, Tell has."
I returned with, "Yet words might lead us on to deeds."
"Neat," said Jostweiler. "Very neat, yes?"
To which Tell's extraordinary reply was, "The only thing to do is to sit still."
"What?" I said. "Bear in silence these terrible things?"
"Yes," said Tell. "To peaceable men, peace is gladly granted. When the governor finds that his oppression does not make us revolt, he will become tired of it."
"And what did you say to that?" asked Ulrich the blacksmith.
"I said he did not know the governor if he thought Gessler could ever grow tired of the oppression." Then I continued to try to persuade him. "We could do a lot," I said, "if we stuck together. Working together makes us strong."
"Strong people," Tell replied, "are strongest when they stand alone."
"Then our country cannot count on you when she is attacked and in need of self-defense?" I asked.
"Oh, well," Tell then said, "I wouldn't go that far. I don't want to desert you. What I mean to say is, I'm no use as a plotter or a planner. Where I come out strong is in deeds. so don't invite me to your meetings and make me speak and that sort of thing. But if you want a man to do anything, that's where I shall come in. Just send a note if you want me, and you will not find William Tell hanging back. And then he showed us out, Stauffacher finished. Well, said Jostweiler, I call that encouraging. All we have to do now is to plot, so let us plot. Yes, let's plot, shouted everybody. Ulrich the blacksmith rapped the table for silence. Gentlemen, he said, our friend Mr. Klaus von der Flue will now read a paper on governors, their disadvantages, and how to get rid of them. Silence, gentlemen, please. Now then, Klaus, speak up and get it over with. And the citizens settled down without further delay to a little serious plotting.